The Clerk Who Mailed His Math. In 1913, a young man named Srinivasa Ramanujan sat at a desk in a government office in Madras, India, filing papers and recording accounts. He was a clerk. He earned very little money. He had no university degree. He had been so obsessed with mathematics as a student that he failed his other subjects and dropped out of college. Twice. Not because he wasn't smart enough, because he couldn't make himself care about anything except numbers. But Ramanujan had been filling notebooks with mathematics since he was a teenager. Not homework, not problems assigned by teachers, his own ideas. Formulas nobody had ever written down before. Patterns in numbers that he discovered by thinking, alone, with almost no textbooks, without anyone to check his work or tell him whether he was right or wrong. He would sit for hours with a slate and chalk, filling the slate with equations, wiping it clean, and starting again. He filled notebook after notebook with results that had no names, because he didn't know that some of them already had names, discovered by European mathematicians decades or centuries earlier. And some of them didn't have names because nobody had ever seen them before. Ramanujan decided to write letters to mathematicians in England, the best in the world. He wrote to several of them, including 9 pages of his most interesting formulas. Just the results, no proofs, no explanations. Just, here is what I have found to be true. Most of them never replied. But one did. G.H. Hardy, a professor at Cambridge University, opened Ramanujan's letter on a January morning and found page after page of formulas from a man he had never heard of, with no degree, working as a clerk in India. Most professors would have set it aside. Who was this person, claiming results that challenged the frontiers of mathematics? But Hardy looked carefully. He spent hours going through the 9 pages. Some of the formulas were things European mathematicians had already proved, which meant Ramanujan had figured them out independently from scratch, without knowing they existed. That was impressive, but it could be coincidence. A very well-read amateur might stumble onto known results. Then Hardy found formulas he had never encountered, formulas he couldn't prove, formulas he couldn't disprove either. They were strange and intricate and beautiful, connecting areas of mathematics that had no obvious connection. Hardy showed them to his colleague, Littlewood. They worked on them together for hours. Hardy said later that these formulas must be true, because if they were not true, no one would have had the imagination to invent them. Hardy invited Ramanujan to England. In 1914, Ramanujan left India for the first time in his life and sailed to Cambridge. He had never left the country. He was a vegetarian Hindu arriving in wartime England, where the food was strange and the cold was brutal, and almost nobody looked like him. But he came because the mathematics mattered more than comfort. Over the next 5 years, working with Hardy and on his own, Ramanujan produced work that mathematicians are still studying more than 100 years later. His results on infinite series, on how prime numbers are distributed, on the number of ways to break a number into smaller pieces. These opened doors that nobody even knew existed. Mathematicians today use tools that Ramanujan invented, in fields he never heard of, to solve problems he never imagined. He was not trained. He had no credentials. He was a filing clerk who filled notebooks at his desk because he couldn't stop seeing patterns in numbers. And he saw things that the most educated mathematicians in the world had missed. Because sometimes the person who looks at a problem without being told what's supposed to be impossible sees exactly what everyone else has walked right past.